Yesterday, on the last day of unleavened bread, we discussed what to do in the next 50 days leading up to Pentecost. We covered a few topics. We covered overcoming, being perfect, raise standards of living, and three ways to grow, and how to become ripened as grain ripens in Palestine during this period, where the Israel used to be. Christ was the wave sheaf offering for us, and now we are the metaphorical wheat that is maturing towards harvest on the day of Pentecost. Today is day 7 in our count to 50, meaning we have 43 more days to continue to ripen based on doing what we learned during the days of unleavened bread. When we do ripen and when we mature, what does it look like? What does it kind of reflect? How are we to look at it? The Bible tells us there's three things that we should be demonstrating. One, a life of truth. A life of truth. Two, a life of sincerity. And three, a growing anticipation of the coming kingdom of God, where we count on the great joy and harvest of being part of the family of Jesus Christ and God the Father. So truth, sincerity, and anticipation. And as we count each day towards Pentecost, we should be seeing these fruits. These are the things that should be coming up as we're doing all the things that we talked about during the days of unleavened bread. So I'm going to go through some scriptures and a little description on how to take a look at sincerity and truth of unleavened bread and how it's referenced many times in the Bible. So if you turn with me first on 1 Corinthians 5, all the things that we're doing should eventually reflect truth and sincerity in our lives. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. This is Paul speaking. Your glorying is not good, as he's talking to the Corinthians. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? We went through this on the days of unleavened bread. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. Jesus repeats this theme of sincerity and truth that Paul referenced. He adds the concept of spirit to it in John 4, verse 23. So when we come out of the days of unleavened bread, we've been practicing sincerity and truth, and now as we head towards Pentecost, we're looking for more of this, more of it as we improve. In John 4, in verse 23, and it's important because this is what God expects of us. John 4, verse 23, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He was speaking to the apostles. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So as we continue to improve ourselves and continue to wrestle down our sins and cleanse our hearts and improve ourselves, coming out of the days of unleavened bread, heading towards Pentecost, these concepts of truth and sincerity should be growing in us. We should be looking at this every day. So in this verse, I'm going to define truth. in this verse that we just covered, and from my Nelson's Word Study Bible, the word truth is Strong's word, G-O-225, or aletheia. Aletheia, the Greek word aletheia. It's taken from the negative of this word, as not to be hidden or to escape notice. The truth is something that is not false, feigned, or fictitious. It is real, it is dependable, it is right, sincere, and full of integrity. This is what is true in any matter, whether a situation or someone's character or morality. Scripture teaches us that truth is the core of the character of God. If we're living in truth, then we're living in the core character of God. And here's some scriptures for you. I'm going to go through them quickly. You can write them down if you'd like. John 1:14 says that truth is the core character of God. Colossians 1:5 says that his word is truth. Ephesians 5:9 says we are to walk in truth. John 14:17 says that truth dwells in us. 1 John 3:19 says Christians are those who know the truth, worship sincerely in truth, and live lives of integrity, of truthfulness. Wow, a lot of truth talked about in here. A lot of requirements. And just for our reference, in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of what? The truth. So how important is truth? And the other part of this equation is sincerity. Sincerity reflecting how we really live the truth. So sincerity, defined in my word study Bible from 1 Corinthians 5:8, is Strong's word G-1505, elekarina. It's used only three times in the New Testament, all of them in Paul's letters to the Corinthians. The word is slightly obscure, but when I explain it, I think you'll really catch it. It literally means judged by the sunlight. It's a reference to the Oriental bazaars where pottery was displayed in dimly lit rooms so that patched places or defects could not be seen. Wise customers would then hold the pottery up to the sun where such deceit would be made apparent and all imperfection seen. Paul's use of this word is metaphorical, referring to a person who exhibits transparent honesty, purity, and sincerity. This person does not fear the time when everything is brought to light, for his motives are pure and he has nothing to hide. So imagine holding ourselves up, ourselves, our motives, our lives, up to the perfect and pure light of God. Do you think you'll see some issues? I definitely will see plenty. It's pretty humbling when you look at it from that viewpoint. Sincerity means that we're pure with great integrity. And when the light of God is on us, we're sincerely where we think, where we say we are, and in truth. So those are the two concepts. Truth and sincerity are the things that we need to be reflecting in our lives going forward. It's something that God expects from us to demonstrate in our worship to him and also in our love for him, because he does that for us. He shows us truth and sincerity. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2. Verses 1 through 6, speaking about exposing issues. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 6, Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. They brought that up yesterday. All these things I'm talking about were brought up yesterday one way or another. All I'm trying to do is put a nice little bow on it and add more to it so that we can see what God is expecting. The pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Grow and mature. If needed, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him to as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up, as we just heard in the sermonette, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are his children in Christ. We are his children. Truthful and sincere. We come to Jesus as sheep. We are his flock and recognize his voice. In ancient Israel, and even now today, when shepherds gather together for the evening, their sheep flock are all put into one pen together. And in the morning, the shepherds each go to the pen of the sheep. All the different flocks are in the pen. And he calls out for his sheep, and only his sheep come out of the pen to him. All the other sheep stay in the pen and wait for their shepherd to come and ask. John 10, please. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. We listen for his voice. John 10, verse 14. And we listen for his voice. Why? Because he loves us in integrity and truth in so many ways, it far exceeds what we can even wrap our mind around. John 10, 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And then verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And then verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And we're going to talk a little bit about being snatched out of God's hand. Next 43 days, where we're trying to demonstrate the truth and the sincerity in our lives through all the things we learned and all the things that we were told, there are things that are going to happen. We are precious to God, and he leads us, but others pretend to be shepherds of the sheep, and others pretend to also be sheep. But in Jesus' time, the Pharisees played this role, and Jesus called them hypocrites. But the leaven of their sin permeates our society today. Truth and sincerity in a biblical sense is much bigger than our common culture accepts. It includes a dimension of dependable character, a godlike integrity. When you compare truth and sincerity to religion, it carries some interesting opposites. So if you have truth and you don't have sincerity, what do you have? You have hypocrisy, which is what existed in Christ's day. The Pharisees had the truth, but they didn't have the sincerity or the wherewithal or the intent to really bring it out, didn't follow it. On the opposite way of looking at it is sincerity without truth is today's empty religion. So a lot of excited people out there, fully sincere about what they're trying to do and what they're trying to practice, but it's got no truth in it, or very little. Today's empty religion is full of sincerity without truth. So I'm going to talk a little bit about hypocrisy, something that we need to avoid. And just to go through it so that we rehearsed it. Hypocrisy is a Greek word that means to play a part or to pretend. It's the hiding of interior wickedness under the appearance of virtue. You saw the Pharisees kind of did that during Jesus' time. The Lord denounced it, especially in the case of the Pharisees in Matthew 23:1-36, as the vice of those who do their good deeds only in order to be seen by men and not for the glory of God. We talked about doing things for the glory of God and living our lives for the glory of God. According to moral theologians, hypocrisy is the fruit of pride. We see plenty of it in our political realm today. It is a sin against truthfulness, being a lie expressed by external actions with the intention of deceiving. In a number of different languages, hypocrisy can be expressed as to have two faces, to have two tongues, to be two people, or to have two hearts. Like Greek actors, and by the way, this is from Lo Nida, which is a Greek translation. Like Greek actors with masks to play their parts, the Greek word hypokrisis has its root in actors with masks. We must avoid these kind of people and avoid these practices. Jesus asked the apostles to avoid the leaven of the Pharisees. We practice truth and sincerity and anticipate the coming harvest season that the day of Pentecost represents and the coming kingdom of God that our soon coming king will usher in. We'll talk about that a little bit. Turn to Isaiah 11, please. Just to be a little uplifting here, Isaiah 11. Talk about our king, our soon coming king here. Isaiah 11, verses 5 through 9. Talking about Jesus Christ. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and the young one shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like ox, and the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hands in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When Jesus Christ was born here on this earth, in Luke 2, and verse 10 and verse 14, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people. And on earth, glory to God in the highest," verse 14, "and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men." A whole new world is coming. God has a plan. We are the first fruits, selected to be part of that. It's something big, a change on a global perspective never seen before, bringing love and peace to this earth, an earth rejuvenation to look like the Garden of Eden again. This is coming. And as we heard in the sermonette, God plans to have us there. James 1:18. This change will be all-encompassing. Everything on the earth will be changed to allow for Jesus Christ's love and his truth to be shown and everybody to be part of it. James 1:18 says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He's all about truth. We need to be that way too. All in everything we do, every day. Luke 12:32. And again, as we heard in the sermonette, and by the way, neither of us talked. As usual, we let God decide what topics we pick and what we write. In Luke 12:32, it says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So each day it is counted as anticipation of the great joy of our salvation and the salvation of everyone in the planet that is coming. And that should drive enthusiasm to want to be part of Jesus' plan. So we anticipate being part of this plan that Jesus is bringing. And during this period of counting to Pentecost, Jesus appears to the people after the resurrection too. I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus did. We could read the scriptures 5 times, and then we go back and read the 6th time, we find something different. Please turn with me to Acts 1. Jesus actually came back after he was resurrected. He came back and walked on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 1, verses 2 and 3. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In anticipation of the kingdom, we should be working enthusiastically, demonstrating our sincerity and truth. We should be comforted also to see that our soon coming Savior was talking so much about the kingdom of God during this 40 days before Pentecost. Here's one of the things he told the apostles. Matthew 28:18, something to give us a lot of hope. In Matthew 28:18, during this 40-day period, Jesus said this to the apostles. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's amazing. That's exciting. Our Savior, our Shepherd, our Good Shepherd. Let's continue to count our days to Pentecost, practicing what we learned in unleavened bread with truth and sincerity of Jesus in our lives. Let's anticipate making this a spiritual harvest of joy in our hearts and in our families and in our church. Let's be excited about the soon coming kingdom of God.